Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, What's New and Exciting in Omega Mon XE for IMS version 4.2.0. Today's teleconference will approximately last 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. In this teleconference, you will learn how Omega Mon XE for IMS enables powerful real-time and historical monitoring and performance management, vital business functions for today's emerging applications. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, Consulting IT Specialist, IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to our speaker, Ed Woods.
Thank you very much. My name again is Ed Woods with IBM Corporation. I want to thank everyone for taking the time today to attend this webcast. I hope you'll find this to be an interesting topic. Omega Mon IMS V420 has been out for a while now, and I wanted to go ahead and do a presentation on it because I think there's a lot of really great features in this particular version of the tool, a lot of new capabilities, some great enhancements, and then also, since the initial GA of the product, there's been some stuff that I find quite interesting as well that I'll talk about in terms of ways to be able to take the capabilities that you get with the Omega Mon IMS V420 and then even leverage those capabilities even further. Some very nice capabilities and things like the Tilt Enterprise Portal, et cetera, that I think you'll find to be quite useful. So I trust you'll find this to be an interesting topic, in particular those that are very familiar with IMS. So I'm going to assume a certain amount of pre-knowledge in terms of some of the core capabilities and facilities of Omega Mon IMS, but I will do a brief review of those first before we launch in. So let's go to the next slide that says Omega Mon XE for IMS on ZOS V420. When you break down the facilities of the tool, they go into two main categories, real-time and historical. So from a real-time monitoring perspective, you can monitor the subsystem, regions, all the various IMS resources, all the various pools, buffers, FastPath, OTMA, balancing groups, and FastPath, IMS Connect. There's a lot of stuff that you can monitor from a real-time perspective with Omega Mon. There's also a couple core analytic components that I rely on quite a bit. One is the response time analyzer, response time analysis, or RTA. What RTA does is it breaks the response time of the transactions that go through the system into various groups. Now, these are user-definable groups. You can make up these groups based upon various logic, wildcarding, et cetera, whatever makes sense in your environment. A lot of times I recommend that users group things up by what I call loved ones and problem children. And every shop has these loved ones and problem children. So you group these transactions up, built by tran code, could be by program name, could be by scheduling class, could be by combinations thereof. And again, as I said before, you can wildcard. So you make up the groups of related workloads. You can monitor the response time. And RTA will break out this response time data into buckets for analysis purposes. Processing time, in queue time, out queue time, etc. Bottleneck analysis also works hand in hand with response time analysis. Works from the same groups. But what bottleneck analysis does is it takes the workload and breaks it down based upon where the workload is spending its time. So is that time being spent using CPU, waiting for CPU, doing database I.O., waiting for locks, waiting for internal latch processes within IMS, a whole variety of different possible wait states are gathered by bottleneck analysis. These are the two core analytic components of Omega Mon IMS, and because they work off of the same grouping mechanism, they kind of work hand in hand. There's operator control and command facilities, operator assist. And then kind of going on down the list, there's also something now called near-term history, or NTH. This gives you the ability to view recent transactions that have flown through the system, and you can go back and see what was the response time, the elapsed time, database call info, and a lot of relevant information. Continuing on down the list on the left, application trace facility. This is a detailed breakdown of the transactions that have gone through IMS. See the calls, see the elapsed times, see what was called, the feedback information, key information, et cetera, that goes through the call. You can also look at multiple systems, coupling facility, Plex level information, global locking, shared queues. All of this is available with displays with Omega Mon XE for IMS. And then also going towards the bottom on the left side, a lot of exceptions, alerting, and then integration. I'll talk quite a bit today about alerting. I'll talk quite a bit today about integration aspects as well. So that's looking at things from a real-time perspective. Now, on the right-hand side, from a historical perspective, you have the epilogue historical, which is going to take the response time, bottleneck, and other key performance statistics and capture that information, store it in a vSAM file, and then you have that for later retrieval and analysis reporting. You have the transaction reporting facility, or TRF, which captures detailed transactional information. These could be individual transactional schedulings, and that's something that you can pull, say, for example, out of the log and then report on for later performance analysis purposes. TRF also, data now integrates with IMS Performance Analyzer, if you happen to have IMS PA for reporting. There's also the Tivoli Data Warehouse XD Snapshot Historical. This is snapshot data that can be sent to the TDW, Tivoli Data Warehouse, and then you can report on that using such things as the Tivoli Common Reporter, and I'll talk about some of these facilities later on. So let's go to the next slide that says recent areas of enhancement. So I've highlighted in red on this slide where things have been enhanced. Now, most of this was done in V420. Some of the stuff was like the integration with IMSPA actually happened a little bit earlier than that. But I just want to show by looking at this slide how, you know, if you look at the recent activity with the Megamon XE for IMS, there's been enhancements pretty much across the board with the tool, going from the real-time monitoring, response time analyzer, bottleneck, term application trace, pretty much across the board, looking as well on the right-hand side under the historical snapshot history, reporting trending options that you can get within the portal now. Just, you know, a lot of nice capabilities and features. Just about every major function of the tool, it seems, in some way has been enhanced, just given all the recent activity here. So let's go to the next slide that says Megamon XE for IMS V420, user interface options. When you look at a Megamon XE for IMS, you have two primary interfaces. You have the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, which is the GUI interface, provides real-time as well as historical monitoring capabilities, gives you a lot of your multi-system Plex level type information, your coupling facility data, your shared queues, your IMS Connect type information, gives you that big picture view. Plus, this is the primary interface that I recommend users look at when you're talking about alerting and integration with automation. The classic and CUA 3270 interfaces, those are the what I call the deep dive analytic interfaces. So if there's something that you're not getting out of the Tivoli portal, 3270 is still a very important and viable component of the tool, and you get a lot of feature and function there. Both pieces of the tool have been enhanced with V420. So you'll find new capabilities and features and options in both of these user interfaces, both 3270 as well as in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. And I'll show you quite a few examples of each of these as we go on through the presentation. So let's go to the next slide that says Megamon XE for IMS information included in the TEP. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal has extensive detail now, specific to what's happening in the IMS subsystem. So that includes information on the IMS address bases, databases, transactions, logging, locking, response time data, and just overall subsystem performance. A lot of information has been added with the V420 release. So if you look at where I've drawn arrows on the left portion of the screen, you see where there's new workspaces that have been added with the 420 release. So things like a new IMS health display, a lot of enhancements in the area of new displays specific to response time analysis displays in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Also, another one that I'm very happy to see is bottleneck analysis data is now available in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Before, you could only get the bottleneck analysis data in the 3270. And I think that's a very important development because bottleneck analysis is a component of the tool that I rely on quite a bit to understand what is happening inside the workload. As I've described before, what bottleneck analysis is, that is the piece that goes out and looks at where is the workload spending its time. What's it waiting on? What resource is it using? So if I want to analyze a problem and figure out if there's an issue and if things are running slow, that's one of the first things I might want to look at to get some kind of indication of where I need to tune, is by going to that bottleneck analysis data. So quite a few new workspaces in the Tivoli portal, or the TEP, as we call it, in V420. So let's go to the next slide that says Megamon XC for IMS includes enhancements to Classic 3270. So here's an example of the main panel of a Megamon V420 Classic interface. And there's been enhancements just on the main panel. So you see an option H now for trans history. This is the near-term transaction history. You also will see enhancements in the area of the response time analyzer displays. Also off of the option H is where you would go to get to the application trace facility as well. And the application trace facility, very nice, very powerful, very easy to use, gives you excellent detailed information. A big step up. So let's go to the next slide that says categories of enhancements. So when I boil down the categories of enhancements, it falls into two, core silos or categories, if you will. One is what I call enhancements to the core monitoring. So that would be historical collection enhancements, trace enhancements, enhancements just to the base capabilities of the tool. And then you have enhancements that fall into the realm of usability, user interface, UI type of stuff. And those as well fall into the realm of enhancements at the 3270 level, such as I alluded to on the prior slide, and also enhancements at the Tivoli Enterprise Portal or the TEP level. So I've mentioned such things as bottleneck analysis being added to the TEP, the expansion of our response time analyzer displays available in the TEP, locking analysis has been enhanced in the TEP, but then also, let's not lose track of such things as the ITM, the IBM Tivoli monitoring infrastructure itself. ITM goes from 6.1 to 6.2 to 6.2.1, now the 6.2.2 is the latest and greatest. Each step along the way, you get more functions and more capabilities delivered just as part of the core ITM infrastructure itself being uplifted. Now, for those that are not familiar with what I'm talking about vis-a-vis ITM, basically what this is the ITM infrastructure, is the IBM Tivoli monitoring foundation, if you will, wherein all the various monitoring agents connect together. So it's the ITM infrastructure that enables the Tivoli Enterprise Portal displays. So as the ITM infrastructure continues to be enhanced and move forward, you get new capabilities out of the tool just as ITM goes, from one level to the next. Now, this could take the form that I'll show in this presentation here, such as charting enhancements, historical enhancements, and some other interesting capabilities that we'll discuss. So let's go to the next slide that says enhancements to core monitoring. So focusing on the core monitoring piece, I mentioned enhancements to response time analyzer, or RTA in Classic. One of the core ones, one of the key things, is that the precision of the displays has been increased. Now we're taking response time breakouts down to 6 points past the decimal. So with 6 digits past the decimal, you should have the precision to be able to do whatever kind of analysis you need and make things really meaningful. So now, if you're not familiar with the data that comes out of RTA, what RTA will generate is it will generate not only a response time number, but it will also generate a number for the I time, the in-queue time, O time, the out-queue time, a P time for processing, as well as the summary buckets, the R0 time and the R1 times, etc. So you get a response time number, plus you also get a breakout. So if you do a good job setting up your groups, you can look at things like the in-queue time, the processing time, and the out-queue time and get an idea if there is an issue with response time. Well, is it a problem with queuing on the front end? Is it a problem in the area of the processing of the application, or do we have a problem somewhere else? So RTA data by itself gives you some valuable indications of what's going on. And now that you have that added precision, the data becomes so much more valuable. The other enhancements to the core monitoring, the one is the application trace I mentioned. So now you have support not only for DOI calls, but you also have support for DB2 calls, MQ commands. You also have now the ability to see a lot more detail from the DOI calls, such as the SSAs, key feedback areas, a lot more detail there. And so there's a whole battery of new displays available in the classic 3270 interface. The third enhancement to the core monitoring is what's now called the near-term history facility. What near-term history does is it will capture transactions on an ongoing basis and keep them in what I would consider like a rolling a buffer, if you will. And you can see the transactional detail and pull up the response time as well as the database access detail for these transactions. So this is a great way to see what's flown through the system recently and look for outliers and problem children type transactions. So let's go to the next slide that says enhancements to the TILB Enterprise Portal. So we've talked about what I call the core monitoring enhancements. But then on top of that, we also have enhancements in the area of the UI and the TILB Enterprise Portal as well. One of these things I alluded to before, the bottleneck analysis information is now in the TEP. I think that's a very important step forward to be able to really leverage the power of the TILB Enterprise Portal. You really need that bottleneck data in there to be able to see what's happening to the workload and then correlate it with other system metrics going through the IMS system. Now you can do that. The response time displays have been enhanced quite a bit. More precision, more detail, more workspaces, more buckets, more options. That's a good thing. The lock analysis has been enhanced. You have support for PI as well as RLM locking. PI was an omission that has been covered now, so now you have the PI locking support. And so now there's more detailed analysis, if you will, with the lock conflict displays. The dynamic workspace links continue to be an area of enhancement. In other words, with each new release, you get more of these dynamic workspace links. For those that are not familiar with what that is, a dynamic workspace link is basically a link in context where you can go from an IMS display and navigate to another Omegamon display, for example, to get detail. So I list some examples of what comes out of the box. So say to go from Omegamon IMS to the Megamon networks, or go from Omegamon IMS to the ZOS coupling facility displays, or whatever. The thing to keep in mind as well with dynamic workspace links is that it's not just something that we IBM provide. You can also make your own, depending upon your requirements. It's driven by a wizard. It's a click-and-drag user interface process. And actually, I have done some prior webcasts that have covered some aspects of the dynamic workspace link setup. But it's a great facility in that it gives you incredible flexibility to do what you need to do to customize your monitoring environment. And then last but not least, I mentioned exploitation of ITM capabilities. With ITM 622, there's some very interesting historical capabilities, graphic capabilities, some new charting options, display options, baseline options, trending options. One of the things that I like to take advantage of when I'm analyzing an IMS system is an understanding of what is the workload, what's the pattern and flow of the workload, understanding the fluctuations as the work goes up and down through the system. And so the Tivoli portal, now that we have, I think, all the relevant data items there, the bottleneck analysis data is there, the response time analysis is more robust, we have more rate information, you now have the ability to take all that data, send it to the Tivoli data warehouse, and really start doing analysis with it, especially now with the new capabilities of ITM 622. You can take that to the next level, and I'll show you some examples of what I'm talking about later in this presentation. So let's go to the next slide that says enhancements to core monitoring, IMS transaction response time analysis. So what we're looking at here is an example of what I was talking about before. We have the response time analysis displays. I have a couple different examples here. And what you see right away is on the upper left portion of the screen, we have the IRSP major command, and we're showing the response time buckets for one of our classes. This is servicing class 1 transactions. And so we see the 15-minute, the 30-minute, and the 1-hour bucket And most importantly, what you see now is you see the level of precision is now six numbers past the decimal point. Same thing as well, you see that on the lower portion of the display. So now this gives you so much more useful information in terms of understanding what your response time bottlenecks are. And, for example, if we look at the bottom portion of the screen, we see, for example, that the part sample tran is our longest-running tran at the moment. And so I can now see I have a breakout under the, if I look in the middle portion of that display, the I time, the NQ time, I see I have that at 0.00147. I see the P, the processing time, and then the R0, which is the total response time. More precision means I can actually see that NQ time and break it out in a more granular fashion and determine, again, where's the time being spent, queuing, processing, out queue, whatever. So let's go to the next slide. It says more on the application trace facility and near-term history. So focusing and continue to focus on the core monitoring enhancements. Application trace, ATF, however you refer to it. You now have the ability to specify your trace collection options. The data is written to and read from a mechanism called the journal logging facility, which is another major enhancement to the core monitoring function. So the journal logging facility is the capture mechanism that gathers up the data. So the trace output that you get, well, it's going to support all your relevant DLI calls. It's going to give you a lot more detail, give you detail on your SSAs, your ILR, your key feedback area. Plus, you also now get DB2 and MQ call support, which wasn't in the tool before. So this is a big enhancement to the tool, definitely. And so you have a whole new set of screens based on the classic interface that you can use to start, stop, view, and filter these traces. So you can define the trace, run it for an interval of time, start and stop the trace as needed, and then go into the trace. And if you capture multiple events with the trace, you can filter the display to get to the specific one that you're looking for. Near-term history, similar kind of concept. The difference is that near-term history is going to capture transactional information kind of more on an ongoing basis. And so you have a set of screens to view the near-term history data. In certain ways, the data can be similar in that you're going to be looking at response time data along with some database metrics as well. And there's filter options to go back and view and filter and dig through and find the transactions that you want. And in a similar manner, the near-term history facility also reads and writes its data to and from the same journal logging facility. So this journal logging facility is the other piece of the core monitoring that's been enhanced and uplifted as part of the V420 release. So let's go to the next slide. It says application trace facility. Specifying a trace. So in the upper left portion of the screen, we show an example of a trace definition panel. So I give the trace a name. I got very creative. I called it Ed Test. We're going to trace just a part trim, just as a simple example. You can also filter based on user ID, L term, and other things as well. Once you specify the trace definition, you then have the panel on the lower right that shows there's the trace, and how you can, you know, stop and start, activate, inactivate, add, delete the trace, et cetera, from there. Once you have that trace activated, it's then going to go ahead and go out and gather. And you can see on the right-hand side of that lower example, it shows the selection criteria. So I'm basically just saying trace anything that's a part tran. So let's go to the next slide that says application trace search and filter. So the upper screen that I show here, we're looking at an example of the filter display. So you can display and filter based on start date, start, end time, go back a certain number of minutes or hours. You can filter based on response time, tran ID, user ID, L term, whatever. Once I specify the filter criteria, I then get back the list that I see in the bottom of my park trans that have gone through the system. And I look for the one that I'm interested in, position my cursor on that, and then I do an F11 zoom to drill in to get the detail on that particular trace. So let's go to the next slide that says trace overview and drill down for detail. So here's an example of the trace. The top screen shows the trace overview, which is going to give you the response time data, your elapsed times, what program was executed, what region did it go through, and then you kind of drill in from there, and then you'll get the call detail level, which is the next example down kind of on the right of the screen I show here. And this will show the call level information. You'll see references to the database that was accessed. So if you see if there was an actual IL, you'll see that in the form of a VSAM call and how long that took. And then continuing on down, we'll see additional calls. If you look all the way on the right under function verb, you'll see what type of call is being executed. So you'll see get unique calls, get next calls, insert calls. And then if you continue down to the bottom example here, this is where if you position your cursor on the call and zoom in, this is where you'll get this detail I mentioned before, the segment, search argument detail, the IO area, key feedback area. So this is a lot of the stuff that's been added that wasn't in the trace before. And this really gives you the kind of stuff you need to see to really understand what's being traced, what kind of detail you're getting back, and what this thing is really doing. So I think a much more robust tracing facility here. The next slide shows another example, but here we're actually looking at an IMS DB2 example. So the slide I'm looking at here says application trace IMS DB2 trace example. So here we're looking at an example of an IMS transaction that's talking to DB2 tables. And so from our overview, we see we have a bunch of select calls. So we have select, open, fetch, close, insert. So we see the calls. And then the same deal, you position the cursor, F11, zoom to drill in and get detail from there. And then if you look in the lower right portion of the screen, you see the additional detail. So here we're seeing the statement, the program name, statement number as well, the SQL code that came back. So this is excellent information in terms of understanding what exactly is being done on the DB2 level from the IMS transaction. So let's go to the next slide that says New Term History of IMS Transactions. So we've looked at application trace. Here's an example of near term history. Near term history is a little different in that basically what you're doing here is you're just setting up kind of a rolling gathering process, if you will, of work as it goes through the system. You can specify what transactions you want to gather. You can have a definition that's set up so that when you start a Megamon IMS, it'll automatically specify the criteria that you want it to gather by. And then it goes out, gathers the transactions. You can see this. Just like with the application trace facility, there's a filter option so you can filter the displays and filter the views. And then when you see the list of transactions, you can then position your cursor in F11, zoom to drill in from there. And what you'll get is like what you see on the next slide, wherein what you're looking at here is an example of transaction that went through. You see your elapsed times, your R0 time, your R1 response time. You see the CPU usage time, and then you also see the DLI calls underneath, the total time, elapsed time, average time, et cetera. Let's go to the next slide that says Journal Logging Facility, Interface and Control. So application trace and near term history write data to this mechanism called the Journal Logging Facility, or the JLF. The Journal Logging Facility is the high-performance capture option that enables these two mechanisms to work, because you need something that's going to be able to really capture potentially a fair amount of data given the volume of transaction workload in a lot of IMS systems. So when you go into the H option, you then get into a sub-panel. And then from there, you see an option D that says journal facility. And then from there, there's a whole set of displays that will show what's happening in the journal logging facility, what data is being written, who's writing to it, who's reading from it, how much data is being sent there, et cetera. So a whole lot of information is there specific to the journal logging facility. Okay, so let's go to the next slide that says enhancements to TIVL Enterprise Portal. So we focused a lot on the core monitoring. Now let's look at the user interface aspect, more to the perspective of what's happening in the TIVL Enterprise Portal, or the TEP. One of the things that I mentioned that I'm particularly happy about is to see the bottleneck analysis data is now available in the TEP, or the TIVL Enterprise Portal. So here's an example on this screenshot of the bottleneck analysis data. This is one of the out-of-the-box displays. So you see you'll see your delay percentages. And so you see such things as scheduling wait percentages, database IO wait percentages, IMS activity percent. So I've kind of highlighted some of these that I usually find interesting to look at, your MVS weight percentages. So you see actually two buckets here, the short-term and long-term. If you recall how bottleneck analysis works, you have a short-term, which is usually by default like a 5-minute interval, and then the long-term, which is usually a 30-minute interval. Now, these are user-definable, but 5 and 30 seems to work for most shops. So, you know, that's usually what I go with. And then down underneath there, you see a tabular display as well, a little show, scheduling weights, database weights, MVS weights, IMS weights, ESS activity or ESS weights. What that is would be ESS stands for external subsystem. In other words, that would be talking to things like IMS talking to DB2. So let's go to the next slide. Response time analysis in the Tivoli portal. So a huge number of RTA workspaces have been added to the TEP with 420. I'll just show a couple of examples because we could go through a ton of these. But there's a couple that I find most intriguing. This particular one here is a drill down from the interval summary. And what we're looking at here is the response time analyzer group for scheduling class 1. And what we see here is we see our in-queue time, our processing time, but also what I'm focusing on here as well is we're seeing some input message rates, processing message rates. So now we're seeing some message rate information along with just the base response time data. I find this information to be useful because it now gives you some additional granularity in the monitor to be able to understand processing and flow through the IMS system and give you some additional numbers to capture and take a look at. If you look down below in the bottom portion of the screen where I have that highlighted as well, we see, for example, some input message counts, transaction counts, and on the right we see some rate numbers as well in the form of bar charts. And so you see class one in this example broken out multiple times. That's because we have different intervals. You have your 15-minute interval, 30-minute interval, et cetera. So there's different time intervals that we're looking at here, which is why you see some of this data broken out multiple times. Let's go to the next slide that says more complete RTA support in the TEP. Here's another example. This is another workspace that I find intriguing because now we're getting the current minute minus one, minute minus two numbers, et cetera. And so we're seeing these broken out, and again, with the same precision, six places past the decimal, so you have more detail, more options, more information to look at, more flexibility in terms of how you can analyze the RTA data. You're not necessarily just limited in the TEP to the bigger buckets. You can go and now see a minute-by-minute breakdown and take a look at that, and I find that to be quite useful. Go to the next slide, more lock analysis information in the TEP. As I said before, the Tivoli Enterprise portal has been enhanced to give you some more lock analysis specific to things like now you have the PI locking as well as the RLM locking. Plus, there's more detail as to analyzing holders and waiters and things like that. Let's go to the next slide that says new IMS health workspace. So this is a new workspace that's been added in the past few months, and what this is basically a nice view that shows some key metrics in terms of NQDQ rates, flows, transactional rates, transaction queuing. And if you look at the bottom portion of the screen, you see a lot of data that's pulled together specific to NQDQ rates for the system, relative to FastPath, relative to different parts of the system, and pulled all together nicely on a single display. So I like this display quite a bit. I think this is good from a real-time monitoring perspective. Okay, so let's go to the next slide that says dynamic workspace links, expand integration options. I mentioned the dynamic workspace linking mechanisms before relative to new links always come out with each new release, you'll see, and that's true across all the Omegamons. Plus, you can add your own. So just to demonstrate this, here's an example of what we're looking at in terms of we're going from the Omegamon IMS address space overview, and then we can drill into the Omegamon ZOS address space detail to get CPU info, TCB info, and a lot of things that you would get from a ZOS monitor that you may or may not find just in the core Omegamon IMS. That's the beauty of the portal, is the ability to just go from place to place, and if the data is in the portal, it's almost not that relevant anymore, whether, you know, whether it's coming from this monitor or that monitor. It's all in a common repository now, a common portal interface. Let's go to the next slide. It says new workspaces and new attributes mean more options for situation alerts. This is the other cool part of having things like bottleneck analysis and more RTA data available to you in the portal. That means it's also there available for you to use for creating situation alerts. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. I created a situation, selected the bottleneck analysis options, which you show on the left portion of the screen in the situation editor, and then the right portion of the screen I show what the final result could be. So here I'm saying I'm going to have a situation that says if I have an application, or I shouldn't say an application or a workload, that's using CPU more than 25% wait times or wait percentages as measured by bottleneck analysis, or if MVS is having a large CPU wait, typically that's what MVS wait times could be. And this is a way then that I can not only just look at things like call response time numbers or elapsed time numbers, but now you can actually take the bottleneck wait state analysis and incorporate that into the alert logic as well. More bottleneck data, more RTA data in the TAP means, I think, more flexible and powerful situations. Let's go to the next slide. It says create situations using RTA metrics. So here's an example using the RTA data, because the RTA data has been enhanced, and there's more metrics and more detail. Same kind of premise. So now what we can do is I can look not only at the response time, but I can also look at the transaction rate. So I can correlate that transaction rate back to the group names, for example, and say if this or that response time group is having poor response time, plus it's also hitting beyond a certain transactional rate, then maybe that constitutes something I need to alert on and take a look at. And so I'm just showing an example of the Boolean logic and also the ability to take advantage of these rate numbers now, which I think is an intriguing option from an alerting standpoint. So let's go to the next slide. So it's using a Megamon in the Tivoli portal to analyze IMS processing and bottlenecks. In general, when I'm looking at managing and analyzing IMS performance, one of the things that I want to understand as much as anything is I want to understand the flow of the workload. What is the workload? How does it flow? What are the potential bottlenecks? If the workload is bottlenecked, you know, to what extent is it bottlenecked? To what extent am I queuing? You know, I oftentimes draw an analogy of IMS being like a big garden hose. And if everything's flowing through, then the water's flowing through the hose just fine. But if I step on the hose, the water's not going to go out as fast and things are going to back up. I kind of visualize that in my mind all the time when I'm looking at an IMS system. So a Megamon IMS adds a lot of, useful information in that regard, especially when you're looking at V420 and the stuff that's been added into the Tivoli portal. So now you have all that bottleneck analysis data in the TAP that wasn't there before. Now you have more detailed response time data, including more breakouts of the RTA data plus transactional rates and things that can be quite useful to look at, as well as you have NQDQ rates at various other levels, at the system level, at the LTMA level, at the fast path level, a lot of flexibility there. You can also use a Megamon to monitor the transaction queue depths and things like that, queuing at the system, queuing at the transaction level itself, and analyze an alert on that. But then you can also look at the dependent regions. How busy are those dependent regions? What's the region occupancy? How full are those regions? So in many different ways, these are numbers that give me an indication of how is that garden hose flowing. Is the water flowing through, or has someone stepped on the hose and the water is backing up? So let's go to the next slide that says new historical collection options in the Tivoli portal. With ITM 622, you get new charting options. You get some interesting new historical capabilities, some interesting new features and functions that you can exploit quite a bit. The historical collection definition panels have been changed with the ITM 622. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. So if I click on the toolbar on the top, you notice the icons on the toolbar are a little bit different, and it's been changed around a little bit. You then get a pop-up where you can say, well, what kind of what kind of history do you want to collect? So like here I clicked on IMS, then I created a definition I called IMS bottlenecks. So now what am I doing? I'm collecting IMS bottleneck analysis history. And then on the right-hand side, I can specify what systems, managed systems, I want to collect it for. This is an important enhancement in the sense that you now have the ability to be much more granular in terms of where you get this, where you get the history from. Do you want it for all IMSs? Do you want it just for certain ones? You don't have to take the whole garden hose anymore. You actually can just, or the whole fire hose, probably the better analogy. You can actually control and be much more fine-tuned in terms of what history that you want to capture. So let's go to the next slide. It says analyze historical bottleneck analysis data in the tab. And so in this example, I've defined my bottleneck analysis like you saw on the prior screen, and then I went into the bottleneck analysis display and I clicked on the history icon and said, okay, go back and show me the last couple hours of this history data, and there we see the bar chart plotted out over time. So it's very easy once you define that history to then be able to interactively go back and then see that bottleneck data historically, interactively within the TEP. To me, that is one of the big value adds of the Omegamon IMS solution, is the ability to have bottleneck analysis data available to you, not only there real-time, but also interactively within the history data. So you can go back and see what were the bottlenecks an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, whatever. So let's go to the next slide. It says, using the history functions of the TIVL Enterprise Portal to analyze IMS bottlenecks. So in this particular example, I've taken this concept I was talking about. I've taken advantage of the ITM 622 historical functions, and I've kind of exploded this out a little bit more here. So here what I'm doing is I'm saying, and I've kind of circled this in red in the middle of the screen here, under IMS, I'm going to capture history for IMS bottlenecks, for LTMA, for response time, system stats, and also IMS transaction status. So several different categories here, and I'm going to capture. Now here I'm just capturing it for one IMS, IMS-B, but if I wanted other systems to gather the history for, I could select those as well. So here I'm being very precise and granular in terms of what I want on specific types of data for specific systems. Start up that history collection, and then what we can do is build something like what I show on the next slide that says IMS Historical Performance Analysis Workspace. So kind of what I've done here is I've taken what is in essence a historical display that's in certain ways somewhat analogous to the real-time IMS health display. But what I like to do is I like to look at things and trend things over time to see the highs and lows, the variances, the peaks, the valleys, and to see the correlation. So in this particular example, what I'm showing is in the upper right, I'm showing IMS bottleneck analysis over time, and we're plotting such things as CPU usage, scheduling weights, database weights, MVS weights. We're looking at transaction status, and so I'm focusing on transactions that are queued and transactions that are stopped. And then in the bottom portion of the screen, I'm looking at response time and message rates, and then we're also looking at NQ-DQ rates as well. And these are plotted over time. Now, in this particular example, I'm taking like an hour's worth of intervals and plotting them out and putting this all on a single screen so that as workload flows up and down, I can see a correlation not only of the response time, of the processing rate, but also whatever was the major bottleneck for that particular interval. To me, this is one of the really cool value adds of the portal approach, is now that the bottleneck data is in the TEP, I can see where my problem lies. I can also see what was happening with my workload, if my workload was backing up at that interval, and not only see it real time, but also be able to see it in history and do it all from the same screen. So let's go to the next slide that says ITM 622 expands the notion of baselines. So this is an interesting feature that was added with the ITM 622 infrastructure, was this notion of historical baselining. Actually, there were aspects of baselining that were added in 621, but 622 really kind of takes it and moves it forward. So you have different types of baselines. You have your model situation, monitored baselines, statistical baselines, historical baselines. So some of these, such as like the model situation, you can actually take a situation and kind of use that situation relative to history data to kind of optimize the setting of thresholds. You have monitored baselines that will track how basically whatever monitored metric you have is performing relative to the threshold that you've set. But one that I find very simple to use and kind of interesting to look at is just the statistical baseline, which I'll show you in the next couple of slides. So if we go to the next slide that says ITM provides new chart functions and statistical analysis features, here's what we're doing here. So I did a couple things. So I took that history display that I had a couple slides ago, and I made a couple small tweaks to it down at the bottom. So I took the plot chart and did a click and drag and used the area chart icon and dragged down and made it an area chart instead. So the data points are the same. It just has a little bit different presentation. And then I clicked on an icon that enabled the statistical function pop-up that you're seeing here. And I'm saying, while we're at it, let's take a look at what the average is over this interval of time. And actually, we're saying time span last 24 hours. So we're looking at the history, and we're plotting that out relative to what we're seeing in terms of the observed response time and transaction rate data here. And we're plotting that out. So this is just a simple thing to click, and you get the pop-up. Say you want the statistical baseline, and then you see that line that'll appear. To actually make it a little easier to see, if you go to the next slide, you'll see it a little bit better in terms of what I'm looking at here. So the slide I'm on now says, example, area plot chart of IMS R0 response time with statistical baseline. So I have an area plot chart. You see that for the first part of things, the actual response time is less than the average. Then we have a period of time where it's actually peaked up, hit a peak, and then gone back down. Now it's just the average is just now the response time is just slightly above average. So what this gives you then is a graphical function whereby you can easily see what's going on, but then you can also go back and compare this to prior history. One of the things I find this useful for is, and what I typically find is a lot of the people I work with, you know, empirically have kind of a good notion of what their typical workload is, and how it flows and what it looks like just from years of working with the workload. Well, if you don't necessarily have that information readily available just because maybe you are new to the environment or there's been changes to the workload or changes to the environment, what this kind of facility gives you is a way to get a better understanding of the nature of the workload as it flows, trend it, analyze it, look at it over time, set baselines, and then you can do things like more intelligently analyze where problems are. And also, if you want to set alerts and thresholds, to more intelligently set those alerts and thresholds. So let's go to the next slide. This says Tivoli Common Reporting. So Tivoli Common Reporting is a feature that just comes with the ITM infrastructure. This is the common reporting. It comes usually as media delivered with the portal installation CDs. And this gives you a common facility for generating reports, and there's out-of-box reports that you can generate. Go to the next slide. You'll see an example of what I'm talking about. Here's an IMS buffer pool report. So the slide I'm looking at here says Tivoli Common Reporting, report viewer example. And so now think of this in terms of now with the data, like the bottleneck data and the more detailed response time as well as all the other performance metric data all going to the Tivoli data warehouse. You now have a great warehouse to be able to data mine and really understand where your bottlenecks are from a performance standpoint, where your workload is spending its time, and then in turn correlate that back to key system metrics, CPU usage, buffer pool hit ratios, lock conflict, whatever you might be interested in taking a look at, and then use tools like the Tivoli Common Reporter to be able to report and analyze on that activity. So let's go to the next slide. It says, using Megamon and the Tivoli Enterprise Portal to understand IMS processing and performance bottlenecks. So this chart kind of reinforces the concept of what I was talking about before, where I kind of envision IMS as a big pipe, and workload just kind of flows through. And so here I'm showing IMS work flowing through, message in, message out, workload to be coming in through IMS Connect, through just through people telnetting in IMS or whatever it may be. You can also have work in the form of threads coming from CICS, work in the form of threads, you know, going from IMS to DB2 and back again. So there's a variety of places along the way for these various pipes that can be backed up. Again, going to the garden hose analogy. If you step on the pipe and kind of kink it up a little bit, the water isn't going to flow. So I see the same thing here. But to go to the next slide, something I'll point out is you can get a lot of information just from a Megamon IMS itself, but sometimes to complete the full picture, you really want information from the other Megamons as well. Megamon Kix, Megamon DB2, Megamon Mainframe Network, to be able to see such things as, like, what's the impact of the network? Maybe a Megamon Mainframe Network gives you that detail. A Megamon Kix gives you the other part of that DB control workload. If you have IMS transactions talking to DB2, maybe it's good to have that DB2 piece being monitored as well. So if you go to the next slide, this shows an example of the integrated approach that I talk about quite a bit. So here we're looking at an integrated workspace that's customized. We have an integrated graphic overview. The graphic is just a JPEG that I created and put into the Tivoli portal, and then I can incorporate that into my workspace here. And then the other components of this particular workspace, I'm taking data from four different monitors, really, technically. Megamon Networks, Megamon DB2, Megamon IMS, and Megamon CICS. All these different core monitors are all pulling data to a common workspace, a common display. That's the beauty of the Tivoli Enterprise approach, is you have the flexibility to do that, and it's going to much more reflect the reality of how your applications typically talk. But let's expand that notion of integration a little bit more. So let's go to the next slide that says IT Composite Application Management. So ITCAM is basically a monitoring and management technology, but looking at things more from the application transactional flow perspective, if you will, because most transactions flow across many different core components, many different hops, et cetera. So what ITCAM does is it gives you the ability to analyze more from an end-to-end type of perspective what's happening with the applications. So that then you can see what's going on by, say, for example, if you go to the next slide that says from the ITCAM analysis, drill down to resolve to the corresponding Megamon monitor. So what you see here is an application flow going from a web client, in one case through MQ, and then ultimately to IMS, and in the other case it's going down through WebSphere App Server, through Kix Transaction Gateway, and then on the Kix. So what the ITCAM will show is the flow of the transaction, where time is being spent, and then the other thing is you can from there then in turn drill down into the underlying subject matter expert tools, in this case the Megamon IMS or whatever Megamon you want to look at. This is the other aspect of the integration, the ability to understand the app and then drill down. Now this capability is driven by ITCAM, IT Composite Application Management, which is a different separate component from Megamon. But the point is that, you know, I just want to be clear that all these tools integrate. You have the ability to tie things together in unique and very powerful ways. So let's go to the summary. What have we talked about here? So Megamon XE for IMS V420 has many exciting new features and capabilities. Application tracing, interim history, new displays, new features, very enhanced, much more powerful. Response time analysis is much more detailed and granular. Bottleneck analysis data is now much more accessible. It's not just in 3270, it's also in the portal. You now have a much easier way to be able to take that bottleneck data, store it in history, and then pull that back for later analysis and trending purposes. There's been enhancements to both the 3270 as well as the Tivoli portal. We continue to add feature and function to all the core pieces of the product. New functions just with ITM 622 itself make a Megamon IMS much more powerful. And ultimately, as I mentioned on the prior couple slides, integration more and more becomes the key. Get out of the notion of silo monitoring and start looking at things from the perspective of the end-to-end application, understanding the end-to-end flow and pulling data together. That's truly the power of the portal, is the ability to pull information together from a variety of sources. So I'm going to go to the next slide. I just want to mention one thing. I have a blog that I keep fairly current. I usually have 3 or 4 postings a week on this blog, and this is Tivoli with a Z, I call it. And what this is about is basically just going through just little blurbs and updates on what's happening in terms of OmegaMon monitoring, system automation, maybe some NetView, could be some IT cam, whatever I find relevant in the area of performance and availability management on System Z. That's really the core of what I'm talking about here. So that's the URL. You're certainly welcome to visit my blog, and I will continue to blog away. And with that, that's what I want to cover here. I want to thank you all for your time and your attention, and I will turn it over to the moderator. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference, if it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. Have you implemented OmegaMon XE for IMS with the browser-based user interface via Tivoli Enterprise Portal? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 4. Which IMS version you have installed on production? If IMS version 9, press star 1. If IMS version 10, press star 2. If others, press star 3. Question 5. Which OmegaMon IMS feature is most important to you? If it's real-time monitoring of IMS resources, press star 1. If it's IMS application trace, press star 2. If it's IMS transaction reporting, press star 3. If all of the above, press star 4. And finally, question 6. We hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at this time. At this time, I will turn the call over to our speaker while we wait for questions.
Great. Thank you very much. I again want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend the webcast today. I always enjoy putting this material together and presenting it to all you folks. Certainly, if you have questions, feel free to ask. This is a great opportunity to kind of chat, and if you have anything in the presentation that you weren't clear about, I'll be happy to address it. One thing that I find interesting about this particular release of the tool and is that it's just, as you can perhaps see, it was a big release, and that, you know, a lot of things were enhanced, a lot of great new features, a lot of great new capabilities across the board, Core 3270, as well as in the graphic user interface, and a lot of interesting capabilities with the ITM 622 monitoring, the ability to exploit some things, and I really like the ability to be able to do that history and context with the bottleneck and the response time and other things, so hopefully you'll be able to take advantage of that as well. Any questions?
As a reminder, that is star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And we do have a question from Katrina Wilson with IBM.
Hello. Hi, Ed. This is Kay. We installed, or started using Megamon IMS, in December 2009, so we're still trying to get used to it. The application trace facility, it looks like we don't have that turned on. I'm not really sure why. Do you know, is that...
What version are you running?
We're running 4.2.0.
You're running 4.2.0? Okay. All right, because there was a big difference in the prior release in terms of where the trace would show up or not. So you're saying that it looks like you see it on the panels, but it just doesn't seem to be operating or anything?
Yeah, I selected it and it says it's not active, so I just didn't know if is there something special to get that included or...
One thing you want to do is in the, I don't know if you're familiar with the install process, in the iCAD installer, if you know what I'm talking
right,
about.
Right, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Be sure, double check and make sure you've done all the steps in there. There's a bunch of steps, and I won't even bother to try to recount them all off the top of my head here.
Okay.
Double check that and make sure all those steps have been followed. Another thing is I do strongly recommend that you're current on maintenance on this thing, because there were some things when the release first came out, where I did have some issues in terms of just getting the ATF facility going. But once I got more up to speed on maintenance, it worked a lot better. So I would double-check your maintenance level as well.
Okay. It's not like a separately priced thing. It should be included,
right? It should be included. You should have that facility. I mean, it's just I mention it because I know that, I took a fairly early version of the media and installed, and I had some wrestling matches getting it going initially as well. But then once I put some maintenance on, then it all magically took off and started working great. So since you mentioned installing, you said 09, this is 10. Is it really? That should be fairly current then. When in 09 did you install it?
Pardon?
December?
Yes, and again, I'm on the IMS team, and actually our MVS performance team actually does the installs with all the Megamon products.
So you should be current enough then, I would think. I would just double-check all the actions in the iCAD installer and just make sure you followed all those steps, because there's a bunch of things that have to happen there, and if one of those things gets overlooked, there's things like making sure you have the right startup option set in the IMS startup, and so if you skip one or two of those things, you might not get the desired results. Double-check that. That would be my first thing.
Okay, I'll check with our MVS performance guys that actually do the install. So.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And if you have issues, feel free to drop me a line. My email is woodse@us.ibm.com, and I'll be happy to help you out.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time. However, I would like to give everyone one final reminder. That is star 1 on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question. And we do have a question from Michael Wolf from IBM.
Hi, Ed. This is Mike Wolf. I'm from IBM. I work with Kay. I have a question about foil number 31.
Okay.
And go back there.
Yeah. Let me hop back there real quick. Yeah, on the baseline. Is that the one
right?
Yeah. Okay.
The upper right-hand corner of the graph, the bottleneck analysis, you have five things that you're graphing, but only one shows up. Is that because all the other ones are all zero?
Yeah, they're statistically insignificant in this particular interval. That's why.
Okay.
It's just the scale of it. And the reality is that I was doing this example on a test system where, frankly, my workload was me typing part trans. So you're not going to get a particularly interesting sample there, because bottleneck analysis works off of a sampling algorithm, so it's going to go every so often and collect data. So so if you have a fairly light workload, you're only going to get probably certain samples that are going to show up, and it's going to be stuff that's statistically significant. So the other stuff, in a lot of cases like that, a lot of times chart out as zero. If this was a true production environment, you would see a lot more data there.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And we have a follow-up question from Katrina Wilson.
Yes.
Hi. Another question. What we did when we set up, we set up some alarm in some situations in the TEP, for alarming, but it was basically, it was for response time. But, what we really wanted to be alerted on is if a transaction is, processing, in the message region in a longer than we expect. And in some cases, we want it to get ab dumped.
Right.
But somehow the data doesn't seem to be right. I mean, we get alerts, and then, the DBAs look at it, and they say, well, that's not a problem. But
right.
We're thinking maybe it's because, we're just using response time total. Is there a way we can just use them? I'm thinking maybe it's because the input queue time is long. Is there something in the TEP that we can set a situation just to alert on the excessive processing time?
You could set an alert on the peak time. That would be the processing time. That's one way to do it.
What did you call that? What did you say?
Peak time processing time. Because the way RTA breaks it out is you have I in queue time, P processing time, O out queue time. And then it also has two summary buckets, R0 and R1. R1 is the combination of I, P, and O, and then the R0 is just in queue and processing. So you can, if you want to create an alert based. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think we were using R0, but that does include the input queue time.
That would include in queue and processing. Yes.
Okay.
That would include processing time. Now, another thing to keep in mind with those things is that sometimes the response time are based on intervals. In other words, you have by default a 15, a 30, and an hour. Now, sometimes you might get an outlier that hits just as a bucket goes across to a new interval, if you follow what I'm saying. So you might hit that outlier, and it might drive up the average for a few seconds until you get more work through. So sometimes you'll see fluctuation in those buckets. There's a couple ways you can address that. One way to address it is in the situation editor, if you click on the advanced button, there's something called persistence.
Right.
What that means then is that you won't fire the situation as soon as it's true, but maybe make it be true for a couple, three intervals, and then if it still continues to be true, then have it fire.
Yeah, we use that persistence. But, yeah, mm-hmm. we're just like I say, the data doesn't seem to be accurate.
Another,
but, again, I think we just really need to use just the processing time probably,
yeah.
Like I say, without the
You could
the
try that. Because if you're having a lot of in-queue, then maybe that's skewing the number. Another thing to take a look at is in the dependent region table displays, you can look at such things as region occupancy percents. And if those are high, that might be an indication of a potential trouble in terms of a trans sticking in the region and just kind of gumming up the works. There is also some numbers you can play with that will give you indications on if a particular scheduling has a high amount of time in region. I don't remember what the exact number is called, but take a look at some of those numbers in the dependent region displays, and you might be able to make a situation out of that that's more meaningful. It's worth experimenting with. If nothing else, the region occupancy is going to reflect the time of the transaction in the region. That's going to really pretty much be a lot of what your P processing time is going to reflect. So if you're worried about processing and worried about processing going up, that probably also will drive up your occupancy percent, and therefore you could alert on that as well.
Okay. Well, we need to play with this some more because, yeah, we had these situations set up, and we thought we had them the way we wanted them, but
right.
The data doesn't seem to be like I say, when we get it, we're getting alerted, and when we look at it, we think, well, this really wasn't a problem. So, yeah, we got to
right.
look at it a little bit more then. Okay, thank you.
Sure, no problem. My pleasure.
And we'll take a follow-up question from Michael Wolf.
Hi again, Ann. Sorry.
Hi. No problem.
What were the three times again? It was P time, which is processing time. What were the other two?
You have I, which is in queue, which is processing, and O, which is out queue. So those are three of the components. There's also then an R1, which summarizes the three, the I, the P, and the O, in queue, processing, out queue. Then you have an R0, which basically just looks at in queue and processing, but ignores out queue. Some customers don't report out queue time because of slow devices, or they feel that, you know, network delay is not the responsibility of IMS. So different people will report that differently. There's also a PI time, which refers to a program-to-program switch if you're doing stuff like that. So technically there's six buckets. And if you go back and actually if you look at, what slide was it here? Back up a few slides. Boom, boom, boom. If you look at the slide, it's either 9 or 10, I guess, on your slide deck. I'm not sure which. It says enhancements to core monitoring, IMS transaction response time. The bottom screen will show an example of what I'm talking about in terms of the I time and the P time and the R0 time for the parktran in this particular example. So you'll see an example of these bucket breakouts. So it's I in queue, P processing, O out queue. Are the core, those are the core buckets. Those are the ones you look at the most.
Okay. Yeah, and they installed the product in November.
Okay.
We started using it in December, but they installed it in November. So I don't know if we're behind on maintenance or not. I mean, we're pretty current. So.
You should be current enough because the anecdote I was referring to was, you know, back probably at this point about a year back, when I first installed it, I was having some issues, and then, you know, later on in the year, I installed some maintenance, and that cleared a lot of issues up. But, I mean, if you didn't fresh install in November, and you at that point pulled in all the relevant maintenance, I think you should be current enough. I'm more inclined to double-check things like I said, in the installer. There's settings like in the IMS startup parameters and other things, but if you skipped one or two of those steps, it may or may not work.
Yeah, back to Kay's issue, one of the problems we're having is that when we set the interval low, because they were doing an interval of like 3 seconds between tracking, and it just wasn't working.
The interval of which now?
When it was doing the sampling.
For bottleneck
response time.
For response time. Oh, okay.
We're still trying. We've been working with Stephanie Kren.
Stephanie Kren, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know Stephanie. Yes, Stephanie will know the answer if anybody does. So, any other questions or anything?
There are no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you, Mr. Woods, for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, well, great. Well, I just want to thank everyone for the time, the questions. I always enjoy the interaction with users of the tool. And, again, we'll continue to do more of these webcasts over the course of the year and a whole sort of different Omegamons. And I appreciate your time, and thank you very much, and have a good day. Thank you.
This concludes today's presentation. Thank you for your participation.